The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You can be seated for me. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot going on in our country these days in the area of identity, in regards actually to who you are. Are you a product of what you decide for yourself, or is it that you is it something that you have received from God? Put it another way, are you self-made? Are you self-constructed? Or are you a creation of someone else? And that, in particular, would be God. There seems to be a lot of confusion about this in our society today. A few years ago, a physicist named Whitney Stark argued in a paper written for the Minnesota Review that Newtonian physics is oppressive because it divides the observable world into binary categories. For example, particles versus waves, and space versus time. She equates this binary categories to in making people think in terms of male and female. And these types of conclusions should be suspended in the name of social causes. Her point was that individual people should construct for themselves who they are. Unfortunately, this has become part of the mainstream thought in our culture today. However, this type of thinking is simply disconnected from reality. The fact is that human social and moral life are not arbitrary or human-made. They are intimately connected to nature, thus ultimately to God. For in our reading this morning, Paul tells us God himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He goes on to say that we know who God is because we see Jesus. Of this, God has given assurance to all by raising Jesus from the dead. In other words, the identity of God is made known in and through Jesus, and in him we move and have our being. Therefore, God's identity is revealed in, and our identity is in Jesus. So in our first reading this morning, we begin with Paul waiting in Athens. And moved by the Spirit, he wanders through the town, noticing idols all around. Gods from many different beliefs, and ultimately finding one dedicated to the unknown God. In this we see that the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers, God was a product of human imagination. God then becomes what we or others construct for ourselves, sort of a cosmic identity theft. Perhaps this has happened to you Someone gets a hold of your information and pretends to be you, ultimately stealing money, possessions, destroying reputation, all because someone created a false being for themselves. If we do not know who God is, or if we seek to claim his identity for ourselves, we will never truly know who we are. And without that, we will never truly be able to live as God created us and redeemed us to live. To that end, Paul states, being God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed in the imagination of man. But that's what the sinful nature is really, really good at. We often have this idea of what God is like in our heads, and more specifically, God who works all things out well for our needs. He becomes the God who answers our prayers exactly the way we want them to be answered. He becomes the God who looks the other way and thus tolerates those special sins we hold dear and refuse to give up. He becomes the God who is on my side of every political race, every social issue, and every disagreement I may have with my family and friends. And God is even a fan of my favorite sports team and wants them to win as much as I do. But you see, being a product of our imagination, it makes us into God. We then become the creators. So when our prayers are not answered as we demand, when our guilt continues to build over sin, when the person I support loses an election, when a court rules against a position that I hold, when my family and friends disown me over something I said, and when my team continues to lose over and over and over, where do we turn? In fact, where do we turn when real issues arise, real life and death issues that are way bigger than ourselves? Well, the answer is nowhere, really, because this God we created is not real. And the true God then simply remains an unknown God to us. But thankfully, unlike the ancient Greeks, we do know who God is. And because they did not know him, they scoffed at Paul's teaching. What does this babbler wish to say? What's really funny is that to translate that word from babbler actually is seed picker. It was a way of accusing a person of picking up scraps of other teachings from cultures and religions, but not really making them their own, just sort of bundling them all together. It was not that Paul was unclear in what he was saying. Rather, what he was saying did not fit into the philosopher's way of thinking, particularly when it came to the resurrection of Jesus. You see, for them, flesh and blood was bad. It was something to be shed at the time of death. So to raise the earthly flesh back to life was absolutely absurd to them. This is part of the reason the Greek gods were always pictured as humans, but never real human flesh and blood. But we know that our God did become a man, conceived in the body of Mary, real flesh and blood. And that's not flesh that was not strange to him, but through it becomes part of the very thing that he created. Human flesh and blood are very precious to God, so much so that it was worth being the sacrifice on the cross for all sins of the world. And in his resurrection, fully human, fully God, Jesus invites us to look upon his resurrected flesh, for when we do, we see God. For Jesus says, you will know that I am in my Father. By faith in Jesus' actions on our behalf, having been forgiven of our sins, we are now in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be in the Father. You will know that I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you. So we do know who God is. Therefore, we do know who we are. We are flesh and blood, just like Jesus. We are made in the image of God, true brothers and sisters, children of God in Jesus. He even calls us by our name in baptism. So then we have a purpose, to be Jesus to the lost and the hurting world, so that others may know and hear the love of Jesus and listen to his voice when he says, because I live, you also will live. Long, long ago, God once said, let us make man in our image. So he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Kind of interesting, isn't it? How quantum physics confesses the reality of what God has created and we have always believed by faith. Our Lord made you and redeemed you by his name and his word to be who you are. And it is good. There was no one like you. And to top it off, God loves you who you are. He created and he redeemed you to be who you are, important to him, and he will be with you forever in Jesus. Amen.